over the course of months, we are going to be able to not just blunt the momentum of ISIL, we are going to systematically degrade their capabilities, we're going to shrink the territory that they control, and ultimately we're going to defeat them.
Expect to hear a lot more from the president later this week, but his message over the weekend was clear when he was interviewed on Meet the Press on NBC. America should get ready for a lengthy campaign against ISIS. According to our partner, the New York Times, the White House says it could take 3 years to complete. It'll require a sustained effort that's likely to go beyond the president's term in office. Well, phase one is already underway. More than 140 airstrikes this past month. The next phase is due sometime after Iraq forms a more inclusive government, if that happens. This will involve an intensified effort to train, advise, or equip the Iraqi military, Kurdish Peshmerga fighters, and possibly members of Sunni tribes in Iraq. And finally, and probably most controversially, destroying the terrorist army in its sanctuary inside Syria. And that's something that could be years away rather than months. What's also clear, though, is how ISIS is tearing up some traditional rivalries in the Middle East. And it's this, according to Wesley Clark, the former Supreme Allied Commander of NATO in Europe, that will be key to a successful campaign.
Well, let's be clear about what's happening with ISIS. ISIS is a creation of Saudi money, principally, and maybe some Qatari money, too, and extremist Sharia philosophy and Baathist Sunni generals who have forged a military instrument that's a direct threat to the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. It's using religious fervor as its motivating force. We don't want U.S. or Western ground troops involved in a religious struggle between Sunni and Shia Islam. The truth is, if you look at it through their eyes, the Saudis are fighting against the Shia hegemonial aspirations of Iran. But the Saudis themselves are vulnerable because their royal family and its thousands of members could be said to be not living in accordance with the strict monotheism, extremist Sharia interpretations of Islam. And that makes them vulnerable to charges of hypocrisy. And that means that perhaps their own population is not sufficiently loyal to provide them protection. That's the real threat posed by ISIS. Todd, you've referred several times to public opinion and public support, and yes, that's important. But if you look at the United States, our most successful presidents have shaped public opinion. They haven't been guided by it. And when they've been hamstrung by public opinion, it's often been proved that public opinion has been wrong about the wisest course of action. And I just want to return again to Iraq. I think we know now that Saddam Hussein had nothing to do with the strikes on New York City in 9/11. Yet, at the time we invaded, a majority of the American public believed that he did. Some opinion polls at the time showed that 80% of the news media favored an American invasion of Iraq. So, citing public opinion, whether it's in a time of retrenchment or let's hurry up and take action against ISIS, as a reason to take action, as a guiding principle, it's dangerous in foreign policy.
Well, before we let you go, General, speaking of the liabilities of public opinion, what would it mean to Arab public opinion in these Sunni Arab states that you talk about to have the United States rhetorically or politically try to lead or organize a coalition of their governments against ISIS? It seems that we would have to do so extremely quietly. I don't think that the Saudis want our fingerprints on their action against ISIS if it were to take place.
Well, you know, in the last week, the Saudi leadership has met privately with the Qatari leadership. They flew in. There was no news about it in the press in the United States. We knew about it, of course, behind the scenes because they were trying to patch over their quarrel between two branches of Wahhabi Sunnism. And this week, the Saudis met actually with the Iranians because the Saudis and the Iranians agree that ISIS is a threat. And so maybe the reason that President Obama said he didn't have a strategy on ISIS is because he knew what was happening and he's waiting for the Saudis and the Iranians and the other Sunni powers in the region to form the coalition that we can support. I think that this is a case where the United States has to tread very, very carefully. It's true. It's a trade-off. The longer it takes to form the coalition, the longer it takes the United States to strike in Syria, the greater the chance that ISIS has to strengthen its hand. But haste makes waste in this case. We've got to get it right. To do it right, you've got to have the Saudis and the Qataris who helped form ISIS take the lead in crushing it. Let them take the lead and work it so we can support from as much behind the scenes as possible.
General Wesley Clark is a retired general of the U.S. Army, served as Supreme Allied Commander in Europe from 1997 to 2000. He is now Distinguished Fellow at the Burkle Center at UCLA. General Clark, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much, Todd.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.